Both songs were good, Casey's song, but that last song basically just tells us that regardless which one you are, you're the one that he died for. And that includes me. And that includes you. And that's enough to rejoice in knowing that he died for our sins. In the book of Luke is where we'll be reading from tonight, book of Luke, over at the fourth chapter. And the Lord laid his thought upon my heart, and I just want to share it with you tonight. And as you pray that God will just move in his Holy Spirit, that his word would be a blessing to you and me, and if we would have lost in our midst, that this would be the day that they would receive the Lord as their Savior. And Christians that need to move up, now is the best time to do it, because as you've heard tonight in so many testimonies, tomorrow may never come. And those that plan to get right, those that want to live a better life for the Lord, tomorrow might be too late. Today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. And we need to certainly take that into our hearts and consider it tonight. In the book of Luke, in the fourth chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with me, if you would, down to the 16th verse, reading down through and including the 22nd verse. And he says in the 16th verse, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And stop reading there with that verse. And you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ went into the synagogue there, as was custom. It was the time to go into the synagogue. And the Bible says that a book was delivered. The scrolls, no doubt, that was delivered unto him, that was opened to the book of Isaiah, and he began to read what Isaiah had written hundreds of years before. And Isaiah's reading is not what I want to preach about, but what I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes is that after he got through reading from the word of Isaiah, the Bible says that he went and he sat down. And that's, if I would have a text tonight, it would be that, "And he sat down," because this was not customary. One of the thoughts that I've had with this message tonight, or the first thought that I'll share with you, is that the work of the priest was never finished. There was always work that had to be done, and we got here a little early tonight, so I was studying a little bit more, and I want to make sure that I give to you what God has laid upon my heart. And the Bible tells us that there was different feasts. Those of you that read the Bible, you know about the different feasts that they had and the sacrifices that had to be offered up. And if I recall correctly, there was five different feasts that they had to, or eight different feasts rather, they had to prepare for in the Old Testament that it talks about. And there was five different offerings that the Bible talks about that had to be offered up. The priest constantly had work that had to be done. There were sacrifices that had to be offered, and these sacrifices and these feasts all had to be done according to the word of God. A priest had to know the word, had to live the word, and had to have a clean life. And when I say a clean life, I'm not just talking about the carnal part, I'm talking about the spiritual part. The Bible says in the book of Exodus that if a priest went into the tabernacle, you remember in the first room or the first part of the tabernacle, that there was a laver that was there for when they went in for them to wash their hands and wash their feet to make sure that they was clean. If they went into the tabernacle and they was unclean, death would come to them, both physically and spiritually. If there was sin in their life, You've heard me say this in years past, and I haven't brought this up in a long time, and it's up on my heart today, that history, Bible history, teaches us that when the high priest would go into the holies of holy once a year, that they would have the pomegranates and the bales at the bottom of their robe. And as long as they heard those pomegranates and bales, they knew that he was alive. But history teaches us that they would have a rope tied to his ankle, Bill, because if he went in there and there was sin in his life, death would come. And only the high priest could come in there. If the high priest was in there and had died, there was no way to get him out. That's why they had the rope to pull him out, because if any other man went in there, you remember what happened to the man who just touched the Ark of the Covenant as it was getting ready to fall off of the wagon. Anybody that went in there that was not a high priest, death would come upon them. And I thought about how that a priest's work was never done, and that the Bible teaches us that all of these feasts that had to be prepared for, they had to have time to commune with God, to be able to dedicate their hearts and their lives to God. And the Bible teaches us, if you go back to the tabernacle, one of the things about this scripture that I read to you tonight that just fascinates me is that after he got through reading, he sat down. In the tabernacle, you will not find that there was a chair. Go back and read, and you'll find that there was no chair. And a chair usually signifies that the work is done. Did he not say, as they pondered about what he read, he said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears"? In other words, the work is done. I am he that has come to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm the one that has come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, I'm that one that has come to preach this gospel to you. And I began to go back and read about all of the work that the priest had to do. Can you imagine all the sacrifices that had to be offered up? And I wrote these down, so I want to share them with you tonight, and all of these feasts and offerings. Not necessarily the feast, but let me get into the offerings tonight that had to be offered up. Every time there was an offering, it meant something had to die. Go back and read about these offerings. Unless you was too poor, and then the Bible says that you could bring an omer of flour for those that had it. Or if you was too poor, and I thought about this today, the scripture went through my mind, and I just rejoiced in the Lord. I had a rough day, but Sister Sharon, this helped me to rejoice, because I remembered the part in the Bible where it said that if we owed a sacrifice to God and we could not bring a bullock or a lamb or even two turtle doves, God made a way for us, for everyone, and that he said you could just get two little pigeons. Don't that just bless your heart tonight to know that even if you don't have money, God did not leave you out? But he made a way for all of us. But when I thought about all the offerings they had to do, the peace offering that had to be offered up, the general offerings that had to be given, and then the trespass offering, the Day of Atonement offering. But this is one where my heart really was at in this message, is that there was an offering called a sin offering. Anytime that a person committed a sin, they had to take an offering to the priest. That offering, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but every time that person sinned, an offering would have to be taken to the priest. And I thought about this today, and I'm not casting stones at anybody, but even in a church our size would keep a priest busy from sunup to sundown, would it not? How many of you sinned today? How many of you owe an offering if we was under the law? We all would have to bring one, would we not? So you could see that a priest's work was never done. And then my mind went to this, that the priest couldn't even begin to do their work for the Lord. They had to be a Levite, first of all. Second of all, they had to be at least 30 years of age. And you remember what age was it when Christ began his work? To fulfill the law. And this blessed my heart when I went back and I dug this out today because I wanted to share it because I thought somebody might ask me where is that in the Bible. But the Bible says that the work of a priest was never done. But Sister Ruby, they started at the age of 30. But the Bible says at the age of 50, they had to retire. And some of you are looking at me because you know what I'm thinking, right? That was the priest. We no longer have priests. Well, there's still one. He's a high priest. But a priest's work was never done. They had all of this that they had to do. And not only was their work never done, but it was a bloody work. All these sacrifices, all these people that sinned. And how many of us get tired of doing the same thing over and over, and yet somebody else commits a sin and has to bring an offering, and here comes another animal. But if you go back to the book of Exodus and read in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'll find this, that before that animal could be offered up, the priest had to inspect it to make sure there was nothing wrong with it. And it wasn't just look at them. They had to physically inspect that animal and make sure there was nothing that was unseen that was wrong with it. And so many people over the years began to offer up sacrifices that God would not receive. You remember that's what got the king in trouble, that his boys began to take anything and offer it, or the priest, I should say, his boys began to take just anything. Eli, his two sons began to take anything. And instead of eating that which they were supposed to have done, they ate everything that they wasn't supposed to eat. And then they was committing all kinds of sins, turning their eyes. But you see, God will not wink at sin. He knew what Eli and his boys was doing. And in time, he had a plan. And that's when he called Samuel, Hannah's little boy. You see, everything works together. God's got a master plan. And the Bible says that it was a bloody work, but the Bible also teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And people say, well, when did all these sacrifices start that they had to start bringing a sacrifice to offer up for their sins? It started in the garden. The first sacrifice that was ever offered is found in the book of Genesis. And people say, what happened in the book of Genesis? You remember that Adam and Eve sinned? And their eyes was open and they saw that they was naked? Who killed the first sacrifice? It was none other than God himself that killed the sacrifice. Brother Eli brought the skins for them to cover their nakedness. The priest's work was never done. And it was a bloody work. And many of our people today, many of our churches, I should say, want to take blood out of our messages. They want to take the blood out of our songbooks. And I counter that with this. If you take the blood out of the Bible, all you've got is a book. Because without the blood, there is no healing. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the blood, there is no saving of a lost man, woman, boy, or girl. The priest's work was never done. And they always had to be prepared for the offering of a sacrifice. And that's just these sacrifices, not even counting all the feasts that was there. All the times that the Bible talks about the feast that had to be throughout the course of the year, that they had to prepare for all these. The priest's work was never done. And brother and sister tonight, the thing that really comes to my mind, and then I'll move on, is you remember after the children of Israel came out from underneath bondage and they came over into Beulah land, the land flowing with milk and honey, every tribe got their land except for the Levites. Everybody else got it. They all got their own parcel of land except for the Levites. And that's because the Levites were to dwell amongst them. If you'll have it, then I'll move on. Priests in the Bible were servants to the people. And really, if a man of God today is doing what the Bible says, they're still servants to the people that God has put them over for a spell of time. You didn't come to worship the pastor. You didn't come to worship the man of God. You come to worship God. And folks, that's the way church ought to be. But the Bible says here that Jesus came into the temple. He was now of age, and he come into the temple, and he read the word before them and said, now is the acceptable time of the Lord, and this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, the priest's work is about to come to a close. The work that they had to do continually every day for every day of the year is about to come to an end, because the high priest has come. And not only was he the high priest, but he also was the lamb to be sacrificed. And this blessed my heart. I heard a preacher say this several years ago. He said when he was there on the cross, when they laid him down on the cross to nail him there, he was the lamb. But when they stood him up, he was the priest that presented his blood to the Father. See, every time, and I didn't cover all this, and it's not upon my heart to do so now, but every after the sacrifice, that blood had to be taken in and poured upon the mercy seat. That carcass had to be prepared. And everything had a particular way in which it had to be done. There was no shortcuts that could be taken. Can I put this in for good measure? God still doesn't have any shortcuts. It's still only one way, and it's God's way. We cannot make it so that just anybody can go to heaven. We cannot make it just so that in their sins, I should say. Because the Bible teaches us that if you die in your sins, he said, where I am, you cannot come. He said, you must be born again. But Jesus told him here, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. The day that he was there, he was about to put the priest out of work. That's what he was doing, Jim. This day, this word is alive and is sitting right in front of you. He was the only one that gave the word and then was able to sit down. The priests weren't able to sit down, but Jesus sat down after he gave them the message, signifying by this that it is done. Did he not say that upon in his final hours? It is done. Father, into thy hand commend thee my spirit. In other words, I have done everything that you sent me here to do. The work is finished. In fact, one of his last cries from the cross was, it is finished. Everything is done according to your word and to your will. And people say, well, if a sacrifice was offered, those sacrifices in the Old Testament was nothing more than a payment for until next year or until the next sin. And I don't say this to be cruel, but many of us today, we would have to just about keep our own herd in order to keep up with our sins. Amen? Amen. We'd have to do something to take a sacrifice unto the priest. But see, there come a time when the sacrifices was no longer offered, and the priests were still there, and they were still working, but they wasn't doing it according to the word of God. Go back to Malachi. And the Bible says in that 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew, is referred to as the silent years when there was no word heard from God. God told them in his word, he said, I'm tired, and this is Roger paraphrasing, I'm tired of you offering up sacrifices that are not fit. What he was doing was preparing the way from the foundation of the world, because he knew that day would come, that there would come a sacrifice that would be able to fit his plan. All the heavens and earth, you remember the Bible says that the cry went out in the book of Revelations. The cry went out because the heavens and the earth were searched, and there was no one found worthy to loose the seals upon the book. But can you remember the latter part of that verse? But then the cry went out. I'll go. I'll go. Christ come. And he paid the debt that mankind owed with God in order to make a way for us to have life and have it abundantly. How did he do it? He gave his life, so that you and I could have life. But that's not the end of it. The Bible also says in the book of Acts in the 3rd chapter, and then also in the book of Mark in the 16th chapter, after Jesus gave his life as the Lamb, and then he arose as our high priest, taking his blood, not some animal's blood, but his blood, into the holiest of holy, and presenting it for his Father. You know what the Bible says about it? And his Father saw what he did, and he was pleased with it. The Father accepted his work as satisfactory. But after that, let me move on, then I'll close. After he did all of that, the Bible says it like this. In Mark, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse, and in the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, it says that after he arose from the dead, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And people say, why is that so important? The Bible teaches us that when he sat down, he's saying, no more sacrifices need to be offered. No more blood needs to be shed. And we don't need those priests anymore. You say, well, aren't you a priest? No, I am a minister. I am called to bring the word. It's the difference between a priest and a minister. Who then is going to declare his word? We all have his word. But the Bible says he sat down, signifying by that it is done. It is finished. All the work, the sacrifices are done. The shedding of blood is done. There's one sacrifice that was offered that paid it all, and one high priest that was able to go into the holiest of holy. But you know what that enables us to do today? Because you remember when he died, the Bible says that the in the temple, that the curtain was rent twain from the top to the bottom. It was rent so that they could see that no longer do you and I have to go to a priest. But church, on a Wednesday night, it'll make every one of us happy that we can go straight to God and talk to him for ourselves. I don't have to worry about bringing a sacrifice. When I've sinned, the Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate with your Father. The same one that saved us, we can go back to and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Some folks might even say this, as Rob and Sharon get a song of invitation tonight. Some folks might even say this, how do you know that he went and he sat down at the right hand of the Father? Jim Puckett, I thought about this today and it blessed my soul. Even in the midst of a terrible day. Aren't you glad God can bless you even when things are bad? Amen. But listen what he said. He didn't just leave us hanging there that the word said that he went and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Bible says in the book of Acts that when the patriarch, the deacon, converted into a preacher after God called him to preach, when he was being stoned for preaching the gospel to those bunch of Jews, the Bible says that before he closed his eyes in death, he says that he looked into the heavens and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. People say, well, he wasn't sitting down. No, because one of his children was in trouble. Can I put this in and I'll close tonight? I believe every time one of us gets in trouble to that point, it will cause him to get up because it's got his attention. And tonight, you that are lost, the priest wasn't able to save you. Even all those sacrifices that they offered up from the time of the beginning, from that animal that was offered by God himself for Adam and Eve's sin until the time that the last sacrifice was offered. All those animals could not save one person. The law could not save one person. But when Jesus came, he said, I can sit down because now all those that are bruised can be healed. All those that are captives can be set free. All those that are blind. You remember when John was in the prison and he heard that Jesus was in town and he sent some of his disciples down there and he said, are you the one to come or should we look for another? And Jesus told him, he said, you take this word right here back to John. He said, you tell him that the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear and the lame walk. But that's not where I want to stop at. He says, and I believe this is the most important part right here. But he said, also tell them, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Tonight, I may not have been physically blind. I may not have been lame. I may not have been deaf. But I was poor in spirit. But then Jesus passed by. And tonight, he's passed by your heart, your life. And you can see that it's not the priest. It's not the animals. It's not all those sacrifices that was offered. But every one of us. See, this was what was important. People had to realize that they had sinned. And the Bible says if we know to do right and we do wrong, it is sin. And if we know that we have sinned and we try to cover it up, all we're doing is adding sin on top of sin. Until it becomes so big that we can no longer carry it. But every once in a while they sing a song that says, I must tell Jesus all of my sorrows. I must tell Jesus all my troubles. I must tell Jesus. Because you see, He already knows what you've done. And I'm trying to find a closing place here, Jim. But this is what excites me about God's grace plan. Is I do not have to go and tell any man what I've done. Because you see, no matter how many times God forgives you, man never forgets. Man never forgets. But you see, the Bible says what we tell God and what God has forgiven as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Doesn't that make everybody rejoice tonight? And He will not just forgive you once, but He'll forgive you as oft as you come. And you ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, He will do that. But He said, no man can come unto me lest my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. So it takes God drawing you in order to find repentance. I don't know what your need is tonight. But the Lord wants me to tell somebody tonight that the sacrifices wouldn't do it. The blood of those animals wouldn't do it. The priests wouldn't do it. But what they couldn't do, Jesus Christ did on a cross at Calvary. And not just did He die, but church, aren't you glad that He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave? And He lives and He reigns forevermore. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, how is it with your heart tonight? The priest's work was never done. They could never sit down. But Jesus said, my work is finished. I fulfilled what my Father sent me to do. And now all men, all women can find forgiveness for their sins if they'll just ask. Come unto me, He says. And He will tonight. Don't try to work it out or try to ponder in your mind how you can get to God with it, but some other day or some other time. But while God is calling, let God move in your life. Obey Him. Yes. My yoke is easy. And my burden's light. Just one more verse, Rob, if you would. Anybody that wants to use the altar? You say, well, if I go after that kind of a message, people think that I've done something awful. It doesn't matter what people think. It's what you and God knows that you need that burden lifted for. Trust Him. Come unto me. Yes. Take it. I am meek and lowly. Do you trust Him tonight as your Lord and Savior? Amen and amen. I hope you got something from this word. There's a lot in there. But can you see those poor priests? Work from sunup to sundown, and we complain about our jobs. Jim said in the opening up of the service, he looks forward to coming to church and looks forward to being of God's people, but he don't look forward to going to work. Could you imagine those poor priests? Every day when they got up, they knew that they had to go and offer those sacrifices day after day after day. Because ever since the beginning of time, there's always been sinners in this world. And I think they're even worse today than they was in that day. And I know we today, every one of us, if we had to live by the law, we'd all be looking for animals to offer in our sacrifices. But thank God Jesus came and made it a plan of salvation through grace and faith. Remember our sick folk this week. Remember our people that are lost and undone. And certainly remember our homecoming on Sunday, that we'll have a great crowd. We'll have a great service. Most of all, that the Spirit of the Lord be here in the singing of the songs and the preaching of the gospel. And how many of you are excited about Sunday? You know, I can't wait to just, when the cross carriers, if I could just see them, that's a blessing. But when they start their first song, I promise you this, if we'll come with our cups turned upright, it will be a blessing from the time that Gene hits the first note on the piano. And it'll bless your heart and it'll bless my heart. And we will, in fact, you better bring an extra cup on Sunday. Ask God to enlarge it so that you can get the blessings that God has in store for us. Anybody got anything on your heart before we close tonight?
Well, I've been doing those cross carrier tapes, and I've listened to all 12 of them throughout this last 2 weeks. And I tell you what, that's been a blessing.
Yes.
To be able to listen to those. A lot of them I haven't heard in a